Chapter 11. Let's look at verses 1. I'll take it to Enoch again. Let's look at 1 through 6. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Excuse me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for giving us the faith to believe. Thank you, Father God, for giving us, Father God, the desire to want to seek you, to search the scriptures daily, to find out and learn and be strengthened and encouraged that you truly are God. That the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. So, Father God, give us that powerful word today so we leave this place today equipped to deal with all that may come our way in the following week. Father, thank you for the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to talk about faith. Such a wonderful subject. In verse number 6, if I just read it again. And I'm not going to really preach out of verse number 6, but verse number 6 covers all of it. Yes. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of you here have diligently sought something? Diligently sought something, and you have all the graduations and I hear all the commencement addresses and all the folks throwing their hats in the air because they've worked hard. They've worked hard and they've graduated and they've diligently sought to graduate. Paid all the money and went to all the classes and did everything that was possible to get that degree. God is saying the same thing. God is saying that those who would come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What's the reward? What's the reward? Heaven. Peace on this earth. How many need some peace? Amen. How many need some peace on this earth? And that peace should carry us till we get to our other home. Look at verse number 1. Now I'm going to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about the body of faith. When I say the body of faith, talk about your hands, your eyes, your feet, all that. All that is connected to faith. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to try to get through all 7 of them. I might be in a rush. Evidence. The word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something. Faith is not some mystery spirit floating around in the air. You got a whole lot of spiritual folks, everything spiritual. No, faith is substance. Faith is something. It's evidence. What is evidence? You go down to a police department, they got an evidence room. And in that evidence room, they put in everything. They might go to a crime scene, they put everything in that evidence room. And they may present it. Now, I told you I was on jury about a month ago. Now I was on jury duty. And that prosecutor, he had a DVD and a big screen TV. And they had videos. I'm telling you, these phones put you in jail. Okay? And then everything on the phone. Everything was being videotaped by the police. And you, it's hard to question real evidence. Okay? We live in an evidence-based world. Everywhere you go, people want evidence. And somebody was to come up and say, well, you know, you proved to me that your wife, that's your wife. Any of us in here is married. We got proof. Some of us got a lot of proof. But we got proof. Okay? We got wedding pictures. We got wedding license. We got wedding rings. We got kids. We got... They can come in here and ask anybody in this room, who's the pastor's wife? They can call you to jury and say, who's the pastor's wife? You go to buy something. You go to finance something. Guess what they want? Proof. Yeah, got some money. Proof that you got some money, that you got a job. Yeah. Okay? They want proof that you got credit, that you stable enough to pay this back. Uh-huh. That's right. See, and that's what God is saying. So there's an evidence. You have faith. People should see something. You tell somebody you're a Christian, they start watching. They start watching. Okay, why? Because they looking for evidence. They looking for proof. Okay, man of God, woman of God, you say you're a Christian? Okay, I'm going to watch you. Now, as the story is told of the deaf and dumb man, they try to give him a track, and he was sitting on the floor. Today, I'm going to give you a track. Here, read. I can't read, but I can read you. So I'll watch you. Somebody say, you know, Christians are what? The only Bible some people ever see. Living epistles. So when the writer of Hebrews say faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. What happens when you see it? You don't need to have more evidence if you've seen it. Okay, it's over. It ceases to be an object. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. What do you see with your eyes? When you look at this world, you're looking for hope. How many are looking for hope? How many know people, I watch them, they're looking for hope. Some folks don't even know they're looking for hope. But they're looking for hope. And they're living a hopeless lives. When I tell you the stories, or you read the news and you see some of the crazy stuff that people are doing in this world, they're living without hope. Yeah, yeah. Living without hope. Bible says that we ought to always have an answer to anyone that asks us about what? The hope that's in us. What is our hope? Heaven is our hope. Heaven is our hope. When we get to heaven, guess what? When we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about hoping to get to heaven. Why? Because we'll be in heaven. We'll be in heaven. The hope of heaven will cease when we get there. John 5:24 talks about, and this is one of my favorite verses. It talks about ears of faith. Anybody ever heard the term ears of faith? Okay? What do ears do? They hear. Folks are hearing what I'm saying right now. Now I'll download this sermon online and folks will be able to hear it again. All over the world, all different countries will hear what's being said. John says, verily, verily. When Jesus say verily, verily, he means pay attention. He said, I say unto you, watch this now, he that heareth my word, okay, and believeth on him that sent me, have everlasting life. Somebody said, that's real simple. But there's more to that. What's it mean to hear? What's it mean to hear? It means to hear with understanding. Jesus is saying this. He said, he that hears my word. Now, it's his word. It's his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word became God. He's the word. And what he's saying is, if you hear my word, watch this now. Marcus said it with understanding. Hear my word. Receive my instructions. Treat them as true. Okay? We can hear something. We can hear something and go in one ear and out the other. We can hear that. That don't make sense. Or we can hear it and say, you know what? That's going to challenge me in a way that I don't want to be challenged. That's going to cause me to rethink the way I feel about a certain subject or situation. So we can hear it, understand it, and reject it. Okay? And somebody said, you know what? You need to treat your husband better. And you know you're treating him bad. You hear it, but you reject it. So, nah, I'm not feeling that. He needs to treat me better. See? And we'll go back and forth with it. Then somebody said, well, husband, you need to treat your wife better. Maybe you treat your wife better, she treats you better. No, she needs to treat me better. Then see, we go back and forth. But Jesus said, if you hear my word and do it. Mm-hmm. There's a doing part of hearing God's word that is complicated. It's difficult. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, watch this now, and believeth on him that sent me. Now, y'all know I get John 3:16 syndrome. All caught up John 3:16. But that's John 3:16. What's it mean to believe? The word faith is found in the word believe. Because you have to have faith to believe. Uh-huh. You have to have faith to believe. You have to have faith to believe that someone was born of a virgin, walked this earth, never committed a sin, died on a cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. And what Jesus is saying, you got to believe all that if you're going to get to heaven. Not one part of it can you not believe. And then you say, well, that's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. Pastor, that's hard to believe. It's impossible to believe. Okay? It's not hard to believe. It's impossible to believe. That's what Jesus' disciples asked him when he gave them the conditions. He says, it's easier for a rich man to enter the eye of a needle. Excuse me. It's easier for a rich man to enter, how's it go? Camel. It's easier for a camel. Come on, help me out. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven.
Amen.
Okay? And the disciples understood what he said. Uh-huh. And they said, well, who then can be saved? That was their response to that. Because they knew they was rich. They knew they had resources. Okay? And all of us in here is rich. I don't care. You might be waiting for your payday Friday, but you rich. Okay? Somebody said, you don't understand. Yes, I do. You rich, you wealthy. And it's impossible for you to go to heaven on your own. Matter of fact, it's easier for a camel. Make sure I get it right. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than anybody in this church to go to heaven. Oh, man. Yeah, that's the truth. When Jesus said, yeah, but how can that be? And Jesus says, what did he say? With God, all things are possible. You know what he meant? I'm the only way. You have to ask me for permission to enter my heaven. And we enter heaven on faith. We enter heaven on faith. We don't enter heaven on the fact that we work and the church is clean and the flowers are beautiful and, you know, and Jeremy put the BBS sign outside and, you know, that's just secondary stuff we just do because we love the Lord. Okay? We don't do none of that to get saved. We don't do none of that's going to mount up to a hill of beans, as the old folks would say.
Amen.
You're saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Okay? Now, Jesus understood that. Watch this now. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that heareth with understanding, understand the terms and the condition of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the only way." He's the only way to heaven. There's none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved. Yeah. And folks say, "Oh man, here you go with that Jesus only stuff. I'm a Jesus only preacher." Amen. Okay? Amen. Ain't no other way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me." Now, that's hard for some folks. Okay? That's hard. That's the only route to heaven. You punch in your GPS and heaven. Okay, it's going to say John 14:6. Maybe say Route 14:6. Take it all the way. Don't turn. That's it. He that believeth on him is condemned. Excuse me. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's John 3:18. In John 3:16, Savior Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's the only way. Here's the hearing. How's your hearing? If your hearing is good, then Romans 8:1 applies to you. If your hearing is good. Because the Romans said, "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What's he mean? You think you're going to get to heaven on your own terms? No. You get to heaven following the Spirit of God. You say, "God, give me the Spirit." You pray for these things. "Lord, give me the Spirit." That man talk about it every Sunday. "Give me the Spirit to believe what he's telling me. I need to believe if what he's telling me is true." And this is why I stick to the Scriptures. Because I don't want to tell you anything that's true. I want to give God glory in the preaching. I can't give God glory if I'm up here clowning. I'll give you the Scriptures. You got to grab hold of it. You got to grab hold of it. You know, we talk about sports. Reason not here, I can talk sports today. Okay? So, you ever hear of in football, they have, man, the boy fast, but he got hands like bricks. What's that mean? Roy know what it mean. I mean, he can't catch nothing. He can get past everybody, but the ball hit his hands, it falls. Butter. He got butter on his hand. Okay? See, God gives us hands. Okay? Anybody have hands of faith? Because the reason I say, because you got to receive the things of God. And if God gives you something and you say, "Okay," it slip right through your hands. Slip right through your hands. You ever had something slip right through your hands? A dish, glass, something you grab hold to it, slip right through your hands. Not good. Watch this now. John 1:12. Jesus talking again. He says, But as many as receive him. Watch this now. But as many as receive him. Many as received him. What's that word "receive" mean? What comes to your mind? Got a hold of him. You got a hold of them, man. You don't want to let go. He said, "As many as received him," heard his word, heard it preached, understood it, grabbed a hold of it. "I'm not letting it go. I'm on the Jesus road. I'm on the Jesus road. Nothing stopping me." Or as the old J's would say, "Ain't no turning back now." Okay? I've received him. Watch this now. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. How about that? What a great verse. You can't be a son of God. You can't be a daughter of God without receiving him. Okay? And when you receive him, how do you receive him? Death, burial, resurrection. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose from the grave. I believe it with all my heart and soul, body, soul, and mind. Now, you have become a son of God. You have become a child of God. Now, what's so important about that? What's so important about that? Because everybody not sons of God. Think of you in a unique relationship. You can tell somebody, I'm a son of God. See, we've trivialized Christianity to the point where that's not even powerful anymore. That ought to be the most powerful thing a preacher can say. I am a son of God. A man of God ought to be able to say that. You ought to be able to say that. We more proud to say we are Browns fans or Steelers fans, and we ought to say, child of God. Who are you? I'm a child of God. That ought to carry some clout. That ought to carry some weight. That ought to carry something. You walk in the office and you meet a young lady and they say, who are you? I'm a child of God. That and the day we live in, that turn off most women. Oh, I want me a thug. I want me a gangster. I want me a dope boy. Get out of your son. You don't walk up to him. Listen, who are you? Tell me, why should I give you my phone number? Because I'm a child of God. Man, that ought to carry some weight. You would think when you think. I remember when Cindy and I met. She said, no, I ain't going there. Okay? But my point is, we ought to be looking for something. And that ought to carry some weight. That ought to carry some weight. Who are you? Because with the fact that when you say that you are a man of God, know what that means? You know what that ought to mean to a woman hearing that? Or a man hearing that from a woman? It ought to mean you got some standards.
Amen.
You got some standards. Okay? That ought to turn off a thug. Okay? And that ought to attract someone who has expectations. Who, if a woman has been abused and mistreated, and she meet a man, and he say, I'm a man of God. Now, you have every right. You listen to me, David, when a man hit on you, even if, listen, I'm looking for a man of God. It's going to treat me right. It's going to treat me like I'm a child of God. It's going to treat me like a queen. It's going to take care of me and make sure that I'm spiritually and emotionally taken care of. How are you going to do that? I always say this, couples, I love you. They always got that puppy love. Puppy love don't last 35 years. Okay? Margaret over there mumbling. Listen, I'm going to say that puppy love don't last. That puppy love don't last 40 years. Okay? Now you ask them, say, well, that love you talking about now, how is it going to hold us together for 40 years? Y'all understand where I'm going? Mm-hmm. Folks don't understand. He received, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. That man ought to say, let me tell you this, I got the power of God working in me, okay? And it's able to do great and abundant things. Matter of fact, that man ought to whip out Philippians 4:13 on you by then. Let me tell you something. See, these young boys don't know biblical game. See, they're a biblical game. Let me tell you something. If I wasn't married and I met Cindy and I'm saved now, and I said, let me tell you something. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She said, well, how you gonna satisfy me? I like getting my nails done and hair done. I like driving new. I like money. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a child of God. I'm ringing it in now, Roy. She. A new game, biblical game. See? Somebody, when them young boys put that Bible game on you, you're like, woo. Okay? Tell them, like, hey, look, let me tell you something. Listen. When I receive the Spirit of God, I receive power. See? Young brothers ain't got no power. Because there ain't no word in them. You got to have some word in you. Amen. And the Bible says you got to hold on to that word. And when adversity come and trials come and tribulations come, we going through. We can go around the room. We can go around the room. What's what you dealing with right now? All the way around the room. Everybody got something. Mm-hmm. Everybody got something. Ain't nobody getting away with this. Cause we know how we used to be. We know how we used to be. And when God came into our life, He gave us the power to become the sons of God. You know who we were before we got saved? Listen, Romans 3:14 says, here's the scripture. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. How many remember them days? There's no fear of God before their eyes. And when you become a son of God, you get understanding. You get understanding. And all you're getting, get you some understanding. Get you some understanding. What about our feet? You talk about the hands, you talk about the ears, you talk about our eyes. What about our feet? And our feet represents how we walk, how we talk, our behavior. Who we following? My father always used to say stuff. He wasn't biblical, but now when I think about it, he was biblical in a sense. He said, always keep your shirt tucked in, keep your shoes shine, make sure your hygiene, keep your breath feeling good. That's your conversation. That's your walk. He was just putting it to me like that. He's an old Marine. People look at me today, they say, you was a Marine, weren't you? I say, sure was. Never been overseas. But I was raised by a Marine. Okay? So I got like marine-like characteristics. Don't sleep long. I'm up early. Okay? That's how my father raised me. But now I have a new father. And he's raised me spiritually to follow him.
Amen.
To know him, to love him, to trust him. All that comes with your relationship with God. John 10:27, Jesus is talking. He says, listen, he said, my sheep. Okay? Three things a man of God does. Three things that a woman of God is going to do. Three things. Here it goes, right here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How about that? Same thing. Watch this now. And I shall give unto them, them that hear my voice, that I know, and follow me. Watch this now. And I shall give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why did Jesus have to say pluck out twice? Because he knew there was going to come a time like the day we live in. And I talk to people, well, you can lose your salvation. Let me tell you something. Once saved, always saved. Now you want to make sure you're saved. You want to make sure you got the right stuff. Okay? Show enough stuff. Because Jesus said in his own word, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay? And my Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no man again is able to pluck them out of my hand. I want to talk about these first three things. I want to say identifying a sheep. I want to say identifying someone who loves the Lord. They hear his voice. They hear his voice. The Bible says, and my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. Okay? See, look, I hear Amaya out there crying. I know that voice. I know that's my grandbaby. The only one I got. I know that voice. I would know that voice. 1,500 babies was crying in here. I would know her voice. Okay? Why? Because that's mine. I have a relationship with her. I hold her. I talk to her. I kiss her. I walk her. I spend time with her. Okay? And that's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice. Okay? Why? For the same reason you love your children. For the same reason you know your wife or know your husband, because you know his voice.
Amen.
Roy said, Evelina, get up here right now. She get to hear them step. He know that voice. That's my husband calling me. Put the remote down, get the step in.
Amen.
Hey, Roy, I'll walk you out. Okay? He says, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That word know, I mean, I'm intimate with them.
Amen.
I'm helping them. I help these sheep. I've nursed him back to health when he was sick. I done pulled ticks off of him and bugs off of him. I lead him to still waters. I lead him to green pasture. And I know them. And because they know me, listen, and they follow me. Amen. They ain't following nobody else. Thousand shepherds can come in there and call God's sheep, but they ain't going to move till they hear whose voice. The voice of the shepherd that knows them and loves them and comforts them and is intimate with them. And he says this, and that's just, this is a beautiful thing. You follow the Lord down there. You keep on following them. And things going to get rough. Keep on following them. Things going to get tough. Keep on following them. Paul on his way. The ship is going down. They didn't throw everything off. And Paul told them all, whatever you do, don't get off the ship. Mm-hmm. Don't get off the ship. And they all made it to dry land. And Satan wasn't happy. That's when the viper jumped on Paul's hand. Because he wasn't happy. Because he wanted all of them to jump off the ship. And things are going to get rough. Things are going to get difficult for you on this side. And God is saying, listen, you stay in the ship. And I, verse 28, John 10, 7, 27. And I give unto them. Them that hear my voice, them that know me, them that follow me, I give them eternal life. Watch this now. And they shall never perish. I don't even want to hear. You can tell me all day about you can lose your salvation. You may be able to lose yours, but I can't lose mine, okay?
Amen.
I'm not losing mine because I know where mine is at. And I know who's the keeper of my salvation.
Amen.
And I know what the word of God say. Amen. No man is able to pluck him out of my hand. Listen. We talk about feet, talk about eyes, talk about ears. Here we talk about the mind, the brain. We ought to have faith in our minds about who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. We ought to have a mind full of thoughts about Jesus. Paul says when he's writing to the Philippian church, and he loves Philippian church, church of joy. They had so much fun. They called it the church of joy. I call this the church of joy. I have a good time in here. I have a good time preaching to you guys. I have a good time teaching on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. It's a good time fellowshipping and doing all we do. We ought to. Paul says this to that church that he loved. Because he knew the potential was always there for them to be taught some crazy doctrine. Like you could lose your salvation. Like John 3:16 means nothing. Like Jesus said in John 10:27, you'll never perish. But somebody can say, well, you can't perish. Jesus said, no, don't believe that. Philippians 2:5, Paul says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Which also is in Christ Jesus. Jesus suffered. The Bible says he was. Caught myself. The Bible says about Jesus in Isaiah 53. The Bible says he is a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. In this world, you're going to be acquainted with grief. You're not getting out of here griefless. Okay? You're going to get phone calls and you're going to bury loved ones and you're going to, it's crazy stuff going to happen to you. But guess what? Know this. It happened to the Lord and Savior that we follow because the Bible said he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And all of us have been acquainted with grief. We're all familiar with the grieving process. Some of us are grieving as we speak, as I speak. Let this mind be in you, this humble mind. Let this mind be in you, this mind that understands the things of God. That understands the things of God. Jesus, John, talking about this mind being in you. Here's John again in 1 John 2:6. He says this. He says, he that say he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. How did Jesus walk? Think about that. How did Jesus walk? See, you listen to these guys on TV and you listen to some of these preachers and they act like Jesus, he was just a beautiful walk. They tried to kill him almost every time he started speaking. They wanted to kill him. He knew they was going to kill him. He told the disciples, he said, I got to go up to Jerusalem and they're going to mock me and scorn me and scourge me and spit on my face and kill me. And I'm going to rise on the third day. So you don't think this is going to be, enjoy the good times. Well, go enjoy the good times. Okay? When you can sit back and eat lobster tails and spare ribs. Because there's going to come a time where you may be eating out of a tube in your side.
Uh-huh.
Okay? This is life. We all going to get old and life going to get old. We all going to get old and we all going to get fragile and we all going to get sick and we all going to die. I hope I'm not, oh my God, we're going to, I'm not telling you nothing surprising. It is what it is.
Amen.
We all living here. Okay? I thought about it this morning. I went to tie these shoes. I'm like, man, grieving hard trying to tie these shoes today. I ain't by myself, am I?
Uh-uh.
I'm married. Remember Deacon Oliver used to be there, and I look at him, he had them Velcro shoes on. I was like, man, I'm getting, I don't hope Stacy Adams make a Velcro shoe. Oh, some Velcro gators. I don't know if they sell Velcro gators, but you understand what I'm saying. And when we put this mind in us, the mind of faith in us, we know. We got an appointment. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, we are this appointed of the man. Wants to die and after that the judgment. Listen. The mind of Christ. What's that look like? I can only give you scriptures. The mind of Christ. Here's what it is. In 1 Corinthians 13, that love verse. And I'll pick it up at verse 4. And that word charity means love. Okay? And God is love. God is love. And listen to what the Paul writes about it. And then people say, well, Paul wanted to love him. Man, here's what he writes. He said, love suffered long. Mm-hmm. Love suffered long. Love suffering long. Okay? Love suffering long. My father got saved at 79. Thank the Lord. He got saved at 79. How about that? Love suffering long. I go over there and talk to him, and he's just looking, just trying to see if I'm real. See if this thing you doing is real. Because he knew me when I was a wacko. Told me all that wacko stuff. He told me how to do stuff. You know? I wasn't raised by a saint. And then he watched me when I got saved. And then when I became a pastor, then he really started watching. And then he just came in here one day. I don't think he told me he was coming. And when he came in here that day, he came in. He never missed another day. I remember him telling me, you know, he got his little letter back from Debbie, how much money he gave. He's like, I gave pretty good. He ain't never gave nickel to the church. Love suffered long. We got to wait on, we got to have that wait on faith. We got to wait on some folks. But why are we waiting? Just keep serving God.
Amen.
Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself up. Love is not puffed up.
Amen.
Okay? He's talking about humility. Love do not behave itself unseemly. Love gonna give God glory. Love seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. I just hope ain't no easily provoked folk in here. Because maybe that's why so many of them left. They easily provoked because I'm a provoking type of guy, I guess. Listen. Here's one. Love thinketh no evil. Okay? You know what I mean? It don't bring up stuff all the time. Don't keep a record. Some translations say, love don't keep a record. You know how that is, Jeremy White? You always do that. You always just keep a records.
Amen.
Love don't keep a record. Thank the Lord. If love kept a record, I'd be in trouble. Yeah. See? That what you did. You always doing that. You always doing the same thing. You don't ever learn. See, because you keep a record. Love don't keep no record. Love now rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Watch this now. Hopeth all things and endureth all things.
Amen.
Endureth all things. See, when you get this in your repertoire, and you start teaching this, now you got the stuff. Now you got the stuff to stay married 30, 40, 50 years. See, this is a good verse. I see it sometimes. You go to weddings, they have 1 Corinthians 13, they have it in there. And, you know, and then 3 weeks later, here they're going through a divorce. You know, get some knowledge. Get some knowledge. Get the mind of God in you. Get the mind of God in you. Can I give you one more? Maybe two. You know I have them. How about your heart? How about your heart of faith? We talk about the mind of faith, the hands of faith, the ears of faith, the eyes of faith. Here's a heart of faith. Paul says that with the heart, Romans 10:10, and with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the heart. Not with the mind. Paul didn't say with the mind man believeth unto righteousness, but with the heart. See, the mind processes things. And when the mind processes say these things are true, then they are applied to the heart. And the heart takes over. Okay? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto salvation, meaning I accept the terms of salvation. I accept the fact that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. There is none other name under heaven where I must be saved. Jesus is the only way. I know that because I've heard the truth. I've processed it. I believe it. And I've applied it to my heart. To my heart. I've applied it to my heart. It becomes a heart thing. It becomes a hard thing. Matthew teaching, Jesus teaching again, said, whosoever therefore shall what? Confess me before man, him I will confess before my Father. And that word confessing is a legal term. You know, you make a confession. You know, that I was talking about the man over in Camel who killed his girlfriend and cut her all up, put her in a freezer. He pled guilty. Saved the state a whole lot of money, and he just pled guilty. He made a confession. I did it. We make the same kind of confession when we believe the terms of salvation, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only way to heaven, and we confess that. Amen. And we confess that. Watch this now. John teaching the church. He's going to the church. His church is under attack by Gnostics. They tell him that Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross. He didn't die on a cross. That was just a spirit. That was a ghost. He really wasn't dead in the ground. And he was just sick. And he rose because he healed himself. And he got healed by the medicine they put on him. Whatever. They was teaching all kind of crazy stuff. And John says this: for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess. Watch this now. Who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver in an antichrist. And you talking to somebody, man of God, woman of God, and they, you tell them you believe in Jesus, and they say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. He never came in the flesh. You know you're dealing with the devil. You're dealing with God, one of the devil's people, because the devil has to deny Jesus Christ coming to the world. He has to deny the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially the resurrection. He has to. He has to. Not that he don't believe it. He just don't want you to believe it. He believes it. He believes it. That's one. This for Margaret. She said, give me one more. You ever go to a restaurant? You ever try a different dish? For the first time, you know, I'll be out somewhere and Sydney will try one thing, I'll try another thing, and Karina will try something. We'll be tasting each other's food. And you taste it, I don't know, I don't like that. Okay. Some people taste Jesus. Some people taste it, okay? And then they'll accept it or not. You go to a car dealership, see a car you really like. Test drive it, ride around, man, this is nice. So you sit down with the manager. So you sit down with the finance manager. Okay? He said, I can get you in this car. But you already got it in your mind. I got a set number for a payment. Okay, this is as much as I'm gonna pay for this car. And he come back and said, you can have this car, but it's gonna be double. You didn't tell him. And my brother sells cars. He said, whatever you do, never tell a dealer, never tell a sales manager how much you're willing to pay. If it's $300 a month, don't go in there and say, well, I'm only want to spend $300 a month, because he will get you in something you cannot afford for $299 for 92 months. That's sad, but it's true, ain't it? Well, I can get you in that car. Listen, I got a super deal for you, because I can get you in that car that you love for $10 less than the $300 you was going to pay. And you'd be like, yeah. And then 4 years later, you want to trade it in. That car is still worth what you paid for it. I know that's true. But hear my point. I'm getting all carried away today. Listen, my point is this. You taste it. And all of us in here have tasted the goodness of God. He has been good to us. He's given us strength. He's been with us in the good times and the bad times. But you know what? Peter says this. He says this. Talking about this faith again. I'm going to read 1 Peter 2:1. He said, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. This is our former life. And as newborn babes. Here we go. As newborn babes. And there's some newborn babes in here. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Listen, how's a baby desire milk? Okay. That's Cindy. That little screaming baby we got. He going to let you know when he's hungry. He going to let everybody know. And if we open the windows, he'll let everybody in the neighborhood know. Okay. Because he desires some milk. He like, I need milk. Now. Not when you taking too long warming it up. You should have had it ready already. And I'm going to scream. I'm going to get on everybody's nerve in this house. Do you have this milk ready for me? That's what I hear. I don't know if that because Karina sent it. You sue it. I'm like, what is going on in here? He hungry. We need some screaming Christians like that. We need some screaming Christians that demand, Pastor, I need milk. Stop all that clowning. Stop all that dancing and James Brown and all that. I need some milk. David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Blessed is the man that you are being blessed when you go to a church and hear the word of God. Some folks think they're being blessed because they've been entertained. Oh, man, they got choir saying good today. Oh, they, pastor, he preached today. What did he preach? I don't know what he preached, but it sounded good. You know, let me tell you something. You better make sure you hear something. Because sounding good ain't going to line up when you laying in there. They got them IVs in you. Okay? And they got them IVs in you and putting ice chips on your lips. And you don't know the Lord. Oh, come on, man. Taste and see. Bible says, listen, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word. Now, watch this down. Why? That they may grow. Grow. We in a growing business. Growing business. Watch this now. If so, you have tasted, watch this, that the Lord is gracious. How many have tasted the Lord's graciousness? I can look around this congregation and know that everybody in here have tasted the Lord's graciousness. He's been good to us.
Amen.
And somebody said, "Well, you know, I'm going through. It don't matter what you go through. Huh? He's been good to you. He's been good to you. Oh, you know, he took my daddy, he took my mama, he took my sister, he took my baby. Listen, he's been good to you."
Amen.
Ask me how I know. But Pastor, how you know? I done lost loved ones too. I done lost my mama and my daddy. I done lost nephews and I done lost sisters and sister-in-laws. I know, but guess what? God is still good.
Amen.
Okay? He good when he giving and he good when he taking away. How do I know? Because the word of God said God is good. God is good. And he's good. Yeah, Columbus ain't the same. Me and my wife go down to Columbus. We just lost our sister-in-law. She was precious to all of us. We all love her. And Columbus ain't the same. Ain't the same visiting Columbus. But guess what? We have 50 years. We have 50 years to love her. We have 50 years to laugh with her and hug her and fellowship with her. Can't take that back.
Amen.
Can't take that back. I look at my little grandbaby back there asleep. She's only 2.5, baby? She was born 1 pound, 10 ounces, somebody said. Listen, it's been the best 2.5 years of my life.
Amen.
I've loved every minute of it. Why? Because God is good and he's given all of us the ability to love. He's given us all the ability to love. Remember that. God is good. All the time. God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience it for yourself. Experience it for yourself. Taste it. You know, you go somewhere, and I don't do this. I never did. I never was going to the restaurants like that, but you bring the wine out, sir, because you taste it. This is 1944. Too tart. Really, man. What really, what I mean is, I'm too ghetto for this. Bring the Boone's Farm. All right, y'all got me bad today. It must be because DeVita here. I had to blame it on somebody. God is good all the time. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See him, feel him, receive him. Hear him, abide in him, because God is good. All we've been through, he's still good. Mary, he's still good. You had all the surgeries, you're probably hurting now. Guess what? God is still good, because you know why? You're still feeling pain. Because there's going to come a day you ain't going to feel no more pain. And you had another day to come to God's house and worship him and praise him and thank him for being a good God. And he's at his very best when he's saving souls. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just pray right now for the church, for the people of God, that they would taste and see and feel and receive and hear with understanding the goodness of the Lord. He's a good God. And he's worthy of our praise, come what may. Trials and tribulations, Many are the afflictions of the righteous. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. But thanks be to God. Our suffering don't last always. Somebody said, trouble don't last always. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Father, thank you.